Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Oh, you see the way you ask, you get the answer. I says, good morning, church family. I got exactly the response. I said, good morning, church family. Then I got a better one. The lady that played the piano here is Sister Evelyn. Her husband, Henry, is back there. They came the first time, and they start talking about join us as members as well.
Amen.
We are very blessed that they are making that decision, and we hope for that moment when we were welcoming to the family the same way. Amen. But you notice that they arrived and got busy right away, just like Brother Manuel and Sister Glory. Now we ask you all to approach them and give them a sense of welcome. Just like my sister Manjet also is joining us, and everyone that comes to attend, my brother here that has been here so much, you know, you cannot miss him. He's almost a mile tall, so all those that are also, los hispanos que están aquí también asistiendo con nosotros, gracias por estar aquí, and those of you that come and to join us in the service, and it's always nice to look at and see family as well. And for us, we are blessed. And those there of you that are not members yet officially, but you are supporting the church, you have been very gracious to the church, not only with your presence, but also with your presence. And you know what that means, right? So it's wonderful. I'd like to say to all of you, if you're a visitor, we like to feel welcome. So we ask the members at this time, turn around and welcome each other to this fellowship, please. Remember, we have visitors here, so welcome them, please. Today, there is a secret that I supposed to say very, very quietly. You know that man back there with the glasses on? Not Brother David, the other one. The backpack. Today is his birthday. This is one of the kindest individuals in our church. And an individual always committed to bring us a plate that is delicious. His ministry is wonderful in our church. So please, not because you received the food, but because of his kindness, show him some kindness, embrace him, and wish him a happy birthday. Is an individual that we respect and we very enjoy in our church. He is very dedicated, so please express your gratitude to him personally. Brother Steve, I know that you feel a little bit embarrassed because you're kind of shy, but this is our turn, all right? You treat us well all the time, so this is the time for us to express to you too, okay? All right, Kikoa, he is here too, all right. You chose the right day to come because we're going to be talking about money. And anybody here doesn't like money? I'm going to invite the deacons to collect all you have. If you don't like it, you can give it away, right? All right. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. But a hasty shortcuts or gambling, because hasty shortcuts here stands for gambling. People that are wants to get quick ahead without doing the proper work. So, leads to poverty. I don't know about you, but I know a few people that has used money to go to Las Vegas, and they come back a little lighter than they when they go. And all the time. And sometimes the devil gives them a little candy just to make sure that they will come back. It works. You go to Las Vegas, you see how many people go there just to give away their money. That is insanity, isn't it? But you'll be amazed that sometimes we are part of the group that gives away our money. Maybe not in Vegas. Maybe in some other ways. Now, some of you may know Morse code. So I S-O-S. Kids, if you want to learn this, like this, dot, 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 hyphen, 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 dot, 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 is S-O-S. Living beyond our means. How many of us sometimes spend a little bit more than we should? So we'll be talking about this because in the last days, finances is going to be the key trigger of everything. Morality, violence, everything will be triggered by finances. The money is the one who is going to bring the end to everything. Because money is time. And time is essential for everything we do. Where did it go? How can we avoid living beyond our means? In the United States, everybody is motivated to spend. Do you know why United States, more than any other country, they try to convince the women to go to work? They fool the ladies by saying, oh, you must be like men. You have to go and enjoy life. All that they were trying to do is to for you to go out, earn, so they can see your money. It was all about spending. They didn't care that you're going to sacrifice your family. They didn't care that you're going to sacrifice your marriage. As long as you buy an extra house, an extra car, an extra coat, like a Marcos, 1,000 pair of shoes. How many?
2,000.
I was not counting. So you were many thousands. And they kept, and if she would die, she probably would have built a whole castle with the shoes. He said, how can we avoid living beyond our means? I don't know if you can see from there, but I even put these eyes on the wallet. Look what happened. Means, it means money earned and not spent. That's what it means that's Pastor Elsa's meaning for it, okay? This is, we came across with this. So that's, when you think about the means that you have, mean money that you have. You cannot call means when you don't have. All right? Now, can you see the picture? The money going down to the drain. Where did it go? Basically, it goes fast. Once that it starts going down, it goes fast. Oh, what about online shopping? All those dollars flying away. They even call the vampire shopping. You know that from 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock, they call vampire shopping. People buying. People are buying things not because they need. It's because they say it's cheap. If you spend a dollar that you're not supposed to, it is very expensive. Every money that you spend that you don't need to, it has been costing you a lot. So please have that concept in mind. Where did it go? Yes, shopping. And you notice how easy it is. They are making it so easy. Now they even have Apple Pay, and there are other ways. I call Apple Pain, not paying. Okay? Because of people, it's easy, very tempting to go. But then the bill comes. And that way, the bill always comes. Where did it go? You keep asking. You may see that I went too fast on that one. I spoiled my fun. Where did it go? First, the parents put in the toilet. Or the kid would throw through the... Even I got one of the kids laughing here. Do you know why I chose to do this? Because many parents lose money because they do not teach their children the value of time that involves in acquiring money. A child that is entitled, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And sometimes we think that it's love that we should give to them. And by giving everything that they ask for, we teach them to throw the money to the window. They become people who waste. They will be victims of debt. And I see some young people here laughing because they can relate to it. I think they can. They know, oh, I wish I could buy that Nike X purse or that car. And here comes more. When somebody wants to have a very fancy car, it doesn't need just to get me from here to there, but have to give me from here to there in style. It doesn't matter. They do not know. They don't see my wallet. They see only the car. So they don't know that I own this car and the police probably is after me to collect. But as long as I drive well, everybody will think. And let me make some of you feel uncomfortable. I'm going to do. You came to here to be uncomfortable, so I'll make you a little bit uncomfortable. Some people put gold on their neck and they don't realize they are hanging themselves with that gold. Some people, I see this, it's insane. A player, a football player, signed a contract for $240 million. And then you see them sometimes joking online, you can see them doing like this with money, $100 bills, look for anybody, just for people to catch. And then you hear the rest of the story sometimes, a few years later. An individual is completely broke. Some of them sent to jail. Those are the people that are swim in millions of dollars. And now they are begging. They are living in a welfare. All because they did not know how to use money. Even Washington, they say, what is happening to America? You see? Even Washington is there saying, what in the world is going on? Now some people put all their money on the palace. And they don't mind how much debt. Sometimes, you know, you give a down payment in the house and you tell everybody, my house. And then you go and pay off. You know, let's see if you were one of those that pay off your house. And then you say, my house. Every year, there is a tax bill that comes to you. Why are they taxing your house? It's your house. Why do you have to pay? No, it's not your house. You have been lied to. That piece of land will never be yours. No one owns anything. You drive in the road with your car. You think it's your car. Every year, the California state tells you exactly how you're supposed to maintain your car, what kind of belt you have to do, what have you. So who really owns your car? Why am I saying this to you? Not to get you depressed, but for you to wake up and be real about what you have. Sometimes we are so consumed to the things that are not really ours, but we have been lied to. And we keep lying to ourselves that it's ours, and we have this passion about something, and we realize that it is not really ours. Not even the ground where you're going to be buried, even if you pay for it, is really yours. So be realistic. The sooner you realize this life is about time, but the time that you keep forever, not the time that you put in a bank, or the time that you spend in the store. And you notice I'm going to use the word time instead of money because time is money. Money is time. What happens to this guy? He is a slave. He is a slave. He spent. Where did it all go? To his neck. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about this, but this is something that is alarming. Most of us do not realize how much this is spending, the government is spending. And now we have candidates that is telling all of you, if you vote for that particular candidate, you're going to $25,000 to buy a house. By the way, a house that is not going to be yours. They are giving that money from whom? From where? From the people. They are sacrificing the people. All these people that come across, we give them a cell phone, we give those things. We are a very compassionate nation. Is it compassion when you give what is not yours? Is it compassion when you take, rob from somebody to give to somebody else? Where did it all go? Why our politicians are selling our country so cheap? What is going to happen to the future of the young people that are here today? This nation is going into a very dangerous. The debt is growing so fast and nobody wants to stop. Do you need a check? Anybody here needs a check? I have a check. Anybody here wants a check? Yes. Of course we all want. So let me tell you what a check I'm going to give you right now. You don't know how much you owe. Or if you do not know how much you owe, or how you will pay what you owe. You need a check. A reality check. That's the one we are about to issue to every one of you. Anybody wants a check? You better check. Do you need a check, brothers and sisters? What we choose not to change will change us. Or either we are a servant or we are the boss. How we spend is decides. You see that guy running, and you see what this rock is going to smash him right away? 12 signs that you have a debt problem. Debt problem. Let me show it to you. After I put the first six in the screen, if you want to take a picture, you can take. First, you do not know what you owe. That is terrible. If you are coming to that point that you have no idea anymore. Second, your debt to income ratio is too high. What happens is that is more debt is coming in than income. And that, you know what that means. It's just like put money in a sack that has a hole. You put the money, where did it go? Your interest to income ratio is too high. You can only make minimal payments. By the way, if you got only four, you're still in a good shape because you're still making the minimal payments. But some people cannot even make that anymore. Your credit cards are all maxed out. You can't pay bills on time. I had an individual that I knew very well, and that's why I have to be discreet not to give too many details because he's still alive. I hope he has changed his ways. I drove by his house, and I noticed that sometimes there were one car, and then I noticed there was another car, and then there was an SUV, and then there was a boat. And we could, just by driving to his house, we could see that they were living a vida loca. They were buying stuff. And then we realized, one day we passed by, everything was gone. And then we realized that this individual was no longer employed in the same place that he was employed before. And then we heard that this individual, when he was approached by the collectors, he decided to file bankruptcy. Let me talk about this very briefly. To file for bankruptcy, and some of you may be offended by what we're about to say, but believe me, I have to say no matter what. So I won't be concerned so much about your feelings at this moment because my obligation to tell you is more important than your feelings. So I will tell you this. Even though the law gives you that option, that way out, as a Christian, as a firm believer in Christ, that is not an excuse for you to rob people. This individual and his wife, they were robbing people because they knew that it would come to a point that they cannot pay, they would just go and file. Chapter 11. That when you use the law with no intent to pay back, that is stealing. You are robbing yourself, not only others, but you're robbing yourself. So please, don't ever get yourself in debt and think that that's a way out, because whatever you don't pay, somebody else will be paying. But the bill will be paid by somebody, and that is stealing. Here comes the next six. You have borrowed to pay your bills. Have you seen people like this? They borrow money to pay this, then they borrow from this person to pay this person, then they forgot, oh, did I pay you? Or, oh no, let me borrow from this one to pay this one. It comes a point that they don't even know who they owe to. You overdraw your bank account. You don't have savings. And probably you don't have a savior either. You have been turned down for a new credit. Oh, finally they wake up and says, oh, this is a disaster, so we gotta stop. Your finances cause you to lose sleep. At least you have a little conscience still. Some people, they owe everything and they still go to sleep. That is bad. You lie about your finances. You go around pretending. I have one individual that approached me once and said to me, I'm making $10,000 in this deal. And I said, wow, this was 30 years ago. To make one single deal and get $10,000, that was wow. And then this individual made another deal and says, oh, I made $5,000 in this deal. And he mentioned quite a few things that he was doing. My wife knows the person, but I'm not going to mention names. And then one day, he knocked at my door. And he said, may I borrow $200? I said, how can that be? This is not real. This individual made $10,000 in one deal, another $5,000 in another deal, and so much. Why does he need $200? I broke one of my rules. So I took $200 and put it in his hand. But in order to make my rule less painful, I said to this individual, this is a gift that I need back. But if you don't give me back, I will not hate you for it. But I hope that you have integrity enough to return it to me. I think my appeal worked because a few weeks later, I got the $200 back. Whew. A few weeks later, the same guy. Lesson. You open the door to a little puppet. You don't have to convince, you don't have to give a whole talk. The dog knows. Door open, in. They go in. And then the next time they expect you to, they put their nose on the door because they already know that that door does open. When you lend money, they will come back. But they never come back for 200. Now they need 250. Because they don't want to scare you, so they want 250. And I said to this person, I broke the rule once, but I cannot afford to do it twice. You need to control your spending, or you're going to lose not only your money, but your friends as well. You can afford to lose some money, but you cannot afford to lose friends. So I said, I'm sorry, but I don't have. That individual went down broke, completely broke. And that individual does not have much until this day. Why? Because that individual, when the blessings came in his way, he did not know how to use it. He didn't plan. Three strategies to avoid debt. Please pay attention to this very quickly, please. It's simple, but it works. Multiply your giving. Really, Pastor? How can I give and I still have? Everything that we give, we keep. Everything that we keep, we lose. Increase your saving. Control your spending. You put those three rules in practice, you will have money. I can guarantee you, I can guarantee you to you because it worked for me. Amen. It's very simple. Some people think that in order for you to have money, you have to earn a lot. Saving is earning. Saving is earning. Many people don't see that way, but that's the key element. A difference between a poor and a rich person is not how much they make, it's how they use what they make. It's what makes them. Multiply your giving. Remember this saying? A few seeds make a small harvest. Common sense. You plant one seed, you get one. You plant 10, you get more. It's how much you plant, that's what you harvest. But a lot of seeds make a big harvest. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Here's verse 7. So remember, few seeds, smaller harvest. Common sense. Each of you must make up your own mind about how much to give. But don't feel sorry that you must give. And don't feel that you are forced to give. God loves people who love to give. Amen. I like this version. This is a contemporary English version. That's the verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God loves people who love to give. And you know when God loves you? It's nice to have God at your side because he is the one who provides. Giving cures greed. There is a verse in the Bible that says that the love of money is what?
The root of all evil.
The root of every evil. That is a poor translation. Because the Bible says God is love. So I don't know, it's not possible for us to love money. I tell my children, I have one of them here, and we talked about this, when it says, oh, I love lasagna. Or I love chocolate, or I love ice cream. And I told them, you cannot love food. It's not possible. That is a misuse of the word love. You can like food, but I cannot love food. Love demands relationship. It has to be a creature in order to enjoy love, because God is love. It needs understanding. It needs thinking. You cannot love material things. So please, do not love money. Don't love food. Don't love your car. Don't love diamonds. Don't love gold. You may need them. I don't know what for, but you need them. But you cannot love them. Love it only is something we can give to human beings, to other creatures that can feel what you give. Warn the rich people. Is there any rich here? Is there any rich people here? Yes, I applaud those that have the courage to raise their hand. Because if God is your father and he owns the whole planet and everything else, you are rich. You are, so don't be shy. So here's a warning for you. Warn the rich people of this world not to be proud or to trust in the wealth that is easy lost. Applying this in a spiritual way. Sometimes you are a believer. And you notice that sometimes believers can be very proud, arrogant, and can even demean other people. That is not true the way God wants you to be his child. And so if you're rich because you are his child, have compassion. Be a giving, healthy person. Amen. Then tell them to have faith in God, not in the money. Who is rich and blesses us with everything that we need to enjoy in life. Isn't that a beautiful translation? Amen. Everything we need to enjoy life, it comes to the one who provides us everything. Amen. How do we cure greed? Instruct them to do as many good deeds as they can and to help everyone. When God entrusts you the power to give, that is awesome power when you can change somebody's life just by your giving. Remind the rich to be generous and share what they have. Some people give not what they expect to receive. And that's why sometimes they give so little and they receive so little. If you give, you shall receive. This will lay a solid foundation for the future. What is it? So that they will know what true life is like. Meaning, if you are generous, this will be the foundation for the future. Now, giving cures greed. Sometimes people come to church and they give so little, like they're saying, I'm sorry, Pastor, but God has not blessed me enough. The only thing that I have is this penny. And that's sad, because when you give as a reflection of what you're supposed to be receiving, then you're telling God, you're not being good to me enough. It is a risk-free investment. Giving is not losing. It is a risk-free investment. Now, increase your savings. One of the problems about spending money is the wants. I want this. And if you have some kids, and you hear this a lot, I want this, mommy. I want that. I want. But there's a difference between wants and needs. Sometimes we can want something that we need. But not every time that we want something is because we need. So make a distinction between what is want and what is needs. And invest the money on the needs, not so much on the wants. Now here you see, I put this picture together. And you see what happens when you love to saving? It grows. See, I was showing to my granddaughter, see the plant that grows? Let me show to them again. You see like this? When you put, if you keep saving, look at what happens. Look what at the top of the money. It grows. When you love, it grows. Yes. I did this for the kids. Increase your savings. Lazy people should learn a lesson from where? From the ants. And now the summer is basically over, but on the summer they are everywhere, aren't they? Lazy people should learn a lesson from the way ants live. They have no leader. At least I have never stopped one and says, who is leading you here? So we assume they have no leader. It's hard to believe they don't have a leader, chief or ruler. But yet, they store up their food during the summer, getting ready for the winter. We should learn a lesson from the ant. I was the other day looking at this. You know the little dying black ones, the tiny, so is sometimes even hard to see them? And I was asking myself, how can that little creature, so little, and if the creature itself is so little, but then you imagine the brain of that thing. We cannot even see the, it's a, and that thing travels miles because it smells a little tiny little thing that your child or you drop on the floor. It will find, it will go through walls, it will go through windows, it finds a way. And some people go around saying there is no God. Ugh. Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8, Good News Translation says this. Let's continue. It says, good planning and hard work. Many people, the lazy people have no idea what those things are. Good planning and hard work, lazy people, oh, they despise those things. Lead to prosperity. Good planning, hard work lead to prosperity. But what happens to hasty shortcuts, gambling, lead to poverty. Verse 5 of Proverbs 21, New Living Translation. Poverty or abundance, which one do we want in life? Have a discipline. This went too fast. Let's go back because I want to see that guy climb the... says, have a discipline. This in money matters. In everything in life, discipline is a key element. And you teach your child from the right the moment they are born, you teach them discipline will affect them not only in their studies, in their relationships, and how they deal with money, how they earn, how they spend. Discipline. And by the way, discipline doesn't mean spanking. The word discipline means instruction. That's where the word discipline. Discipline in no place, no dictionary ever meant spanking. The word discipline means to teach. So make your money work. You can climb. Now, do you remember this individual? Yes. The rich young ruler. I put this title. Look what I put there on top. The rich young ruler lost his saving. Yes, he lost his saving. We shouldn't let money get in our way of our relationships because it can be very costly. This you'll find this story in Luke chapter 18. We used this as a sermon a few weeks ago. Now look at this individual. He came back to the bank and the banker is very surprised. You again? And he said this. Remember me? 2 weeks ago, you gave me a loan of $25,000. I have been having a ball. And I would like to have us to do it again. Can I borrow another 25? And the bank says, what? Yes, that is happening all the time. The rich young son spent his saving as well. About the time his money ran out, you know, to talk about Luke 15. A great famine swept over the land. And then he wished to eat with the pigs. Because he was starving. He had a lot of money. But he didn't think about the future. He just thought about spending, spending, spending. Oh, if tomorrow comes, I'll ask my parents for more, right? Examine your motive, selfless or selfish. If you are spending money on yourself and on self and all about what you want, that is idolatry. That is self-worship. When you buy things for yourself just with the satisfaction to have something to, because you want. Not because you need. Okay, I know that some of you may have some of those fellows in your pocket. All right? MasterCard should not master you. Visa is not a permission for you to go over every borders. All right? Discover, it doesn't mean that you can discover everything and not pay the consequence of all this discovering. I met an individual my wife knows this person as well, that as we were talking and the financial conversation came, and the individual surprised me. This person said, I owe $30,000 in a credit card. Wow. I was shocked because this individual has houses. Both of them, husband and wife, worked, good pay. And I asked this individual, do you realize how much interest you're paying in $30,000 in a credit card? It's enough for you to buy a house. Just the interest alone, because it is one of the highest interest that you can find. I put here very 21, but some of them even higher than that. And people just, before we used to have to push the card in, no, now you, it's done. They don't want you to feel pain. They just touch it, it's done. It's amazing. They are making so easy for you to get your money. It's just like a trash. Now control your spending. I mentioned this to you before. Every time you look at money, think about it is time. Every money, it is time that has been converted into currency. When you go to a store and buy something, you're giving your time. Remember what I said here last week? When you see the word time, you see a T and you see a E. T stands for today. E stands for eternity. And what do you find in between? I am. It is I am who provides you what you have. Don't be careless, because when you disrespect time, you're disrespecting the I am that has provided for you. God gave you life. He gave you time. And He wants you to keep this time forever. I am wants to be always present between your today and your eternity. I am wants to be there. So when you use your time, remember, the time is clicking. You cannot stop it. All you can do is use well. Here is a picture that most of you have seen before, but maybe not with this approach. So what is behind the trap? The serpent, the snake. What is the serpent saying? You are pre-qualified. You are so special. You are better than anybody else that we know. We want to give you, we want to put in your pocket $10,000. Just sign here. Bite here. Take a bite. So what was the message to Adam and Eve? Don't touch. I don't know how many of you receive emails saying, you just have won this nice bag with all this here. Just click here. Touch. You have no idea with AI or all those things going on right now. You touch. You send in information. What is the your computer you're using, your location, and now the government is being more aggressive. It's allowed companies like Google and other companies to actually know more about you than you can imagine. Yes, the serpent is speaking still. And it is still a trap. Don't touch it. Do you know? I don't know how many of you have set a trap before for mice, or have you? It's dangerous, isn't it? The thing can, you in your hand. So you have to be very careful. And when you set up, say, don't touch it. Let the rats do it. Not you. Keep your hand out of there. Okay? Thinking ahead. Oh, how many times have you seen the free? Wake up! Nothing is free. Nothing. Not even your salvation is free. Because if you think that it is, look at the cross. Nothing is free, ever. If you want to live with the illusion that you can get something from somebody else for free, you have something inside of you called greed. Be careful. Scammers sometimes use this desire that we have to get things for free to trap us. If you have the decency to be productive and earn what you have, you'll be amazed how good we feel when we have something that we earned. Earn what you have. Don't expect anything for free. There is no decency in the free stuff. Oh, you go to a store that says 40% off and you go for it. Say, yeah, put a change right here. You go for it. There is no such thing as 40% off. They put at a price 80% up and they cut it in half and they still got you to go there in full for it. I wish I could share. I tell my family all the adversities that I went to in my life made me a very happy person. You know why? Some people go to universities and they become very dumb. I went to adversity and made me a much wiser person. When God takes your hand, adversity is the best school you can go through. And believe me, because I spent time not having enough to eat, the moment that I got my first job, forgive me to talk about myself about this, I still have all the money that I earned in my first job in my life. I'm not rich in that sense, but I am very blessed how God taught me the value of money. How should we handle that? My child, if you have done this and are under your neighbor's control, here is how to get yourself free. This is from the Bible. Don't be proud. Go to your neighbor, you know, the one who holds your debt, and beg. Beg. And I'm not talking about take a bag with you, okay? That's a different bag. Beg to be free from your promise. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. This is verse 3. Now, the next verse, it says, don't go to sleep or even rest your eyes. Lock those cards. Stop spending and pay what you owe. That is decent. That will give you a good sleep. But free yourself like a deer running from the hunter. And they are good hunters, they are. Like a bird flying away from the trapper. Put a lock on your wallet. Stop spending, stop throwing God's resources away. If one of you is planning to build a tower, what happens? You sit down first and figure out, am I going to be able to afford this? Very quickly here, I went to the Amazon as a missionary when I was here. We made a trip, and we went to this village. There was no Seventh-day Adventist in the entire village. So we went to plant, built a not a church, but you know, a church building. Because a church are the people. And we also built a house for a Bible worker. All this. This is Brazil way. Over here, you have to have the members, then you build the building. Over there, no, let's build the building and the members will come. That's what faith is all about. So we went, and we have 2 weeks to make all this building and buy the property, find the property, buy the property, and do everything in 2 weeks. And by God's grace, we did. And the building was not this thing made of paper and wood. No, it was solid concrete. But we noticed as we were in that village, there was this very fancy construction. And I could see that all the rain, everything else, there was, green, the walls. And then I asked the people in the village, "This is a beautiful building. How come it's not finished?" "Oh, it has been like that for more than 10 years. "What happened?" "Oh, they start construction. It's a Pentecostal church. They start constructing. But they stopped because they run out of money. And they never came back. And it's here." You know, we started in less than a few days, the whole thing, and the village people became amazed. "How you guys did? How you did all this?" We received news, and it was published, that particular church now, it has more than 100 members already baptized. Even the administrator of the village says, "I'm going to be a member of this church." Amen. We had a worship service when we were building in a church, Catholic church. The priest was not in town, so the people of the city says, "I have the key." So we celebrated our Sabbath school inside of a Catholic church. It felt so awkward, but we did. But this was the experience that we had. It's beautiful when you plan before you do. If you don't, you will not be able to finish the tower before the foundation. Just laying the foundation. And what happens? People will mock at you when you are not well prepared for it. There's a good news translation. It says, verse 30, "You began to build but can't finish the job they will say about you." Three, almost done here, brothers and sisters, be patient. Three is a strategy to avoid debt. Examine what you spent. Eradicate what you owe. And plant what you save. S-O-S. Examine what you spend. Eradicate what you owe. And plant what you save. It will multiply. I can guarantee you. Here is a list before you by William Ward. It says this: before you speak, listen. Before you write, think. Before you spend, earn. And I add this, not with his permission, but I add this, return, of course. Before you invest, investigate. Before you retire, save. And before you die, give. That is the secret. This is the message for you. I hope that you feel that you invest your time well. I hope that you, in your life, when you have the opportunity to help somebody, remember, rich is the one who gives. Poor is the one who asks. And the one who keeps. Again, the rich is the one who gives. The poor is the one who keeps and the one who asks. Be rich. Amen. May God bless you many times over. Let's stand together and sing as a conclusion, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and not in money."